Yo, it's your boy Dub Flow.
Yo, it's your boy Gorilla J. We from the Egan's Rats.
And you listening to the Rock Paper Podcast with Shane Presley.
Yo, we got the show October 30th in Cashlight
with two of the dopest MCs we know, Scrub and ATG. This is a free outdoor event. It's recommended you bring your own chair, but the Gaslight will provide the food and booze. Also, bring a mask and social distancing is encouraged. Shout outs to Shane Presley and the Rock Paper Podcast and the Gaslight. We're the Egan's Rats. We approve this message.
Hey everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the show. Today's features my new friend, Harag Chanchanian. He joins me on Zoom to discuss his brand new product, Humbly, is a podcast app he developed. And we also talk about his band, Strata. They have two brand new singles out there. And you're going to hear them today on the show. Want to remind you that Rock Paper Podcast is brought to you by Roughneck Beard Company and American Rambler, located here in St. Louis, Missouri. You can find them over shop locally in Maplewood, Missouri, off of Manchester at their shop. Or you can shop 24/7 at roughneckbeardcompany.com. Just in time for the fall, Roughneck Beard Company has brought back one of their most popular products, Roughneck Beard Batter. Roughneck Beard Batter is the perfect daily conditioner or after wash solution. Rub a dime-sized glob through your mane in the morning or after a shower and let the shea butter and hemp seed oil go to work, replacing that lost moisture. So if your beard has been itchy or dry, you need to check out Roughneck Beard Batter. All their products are all natural. They smell great. So get some and clean yourself up. Get looking good and smelling good. All kinds of beard oils, beard balms. They've even got junk powder for your junk. So check all that out at roughneckbeardcompany.com. You can use my code RPP15 for an exclusive 15% off your purchase. And keep in mind that any order over $50 includes free shipping. So check it all out again, roughneckbeardcompany.com. Also, big thank you to Heil Sound for their continued support and helping make this show sound great. Visit heilsound.com today and get yourself a brand new microphone. And that's it for me, everybody. If you need me, you can always find me at rockpaperpodcast.com. You can hit me up on email at rockpaperpodcast@gmail. You can find me on the socials, wherever you're listening to podcasting, wherever you're listening to this episode. Thank you for all your continued support, and hit me up. I'd love to hear from you. Let me know what it is you're listening to, if you have any guests you want to hear on the show, or anything else. Thanks, everybody. Have a great day. Enjoy this episode with Harag.
Podcast is kind of like it's like a radio show that's not on the radio, it's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
Hey, this is Harag, the creator of Humbly, the bass player in Strata, and guest on Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
This is beat paper, paper covers rock. Rock beats is the Shane covers nonstop. Never know what new kind of guests that he's got coming at you. Live and direct on the spot. Could be rock, folk, country, or hip-hop, jazz. All kind of folks that he has. Could be an artist or a comedian to make you laugh on the
Rock Paper Podcast.
Double-decker fudge round, rolling round town. Shane coming at you live and direct from ground zero. He's your hero, he's your bestie. Rock Paper Podcast with Shane Presley.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Hey everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri, hanging out on Zoom with Harag Chanchanian, right?
Yes, that's right. Hello.
Hey, I nailed it. I was a little nervous, but I think I got it.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, this is cool. I'm really glad to be here hanging with you. We got, with thanks to our mutual friend Wiley, kind of helping connect some of the dots here. He's been a good friend of the show. We've done a couple of different episodes talking about some of his music and things, but he sort of hit me to what you were doing, like with the app now and stuff, which Humbly on your iOS, and we'll get into that. But he's like, hey, you should check this out, especially being that I do podcasting. And so I was like, well, yeah, this sounds cool. And then you were looking to talk about it. So I'm like, well, let's talk about it. So
yeah,
now we're here.
Super awesome. I'm really stoked to be here. This is a very like the first podcast I'm being on to talk about Humbly. It's a project that's very near and dear to my heart. So I'm really, really excited to talk about it. But Wiley, good people. We go back a long, long time. He linked us up. Funny gentleman. I do bump into him every now and then. So
yeah, so you're on the San Francisco area, right?
Yeah. So I'm down in San Jose. Just south of San Francisco. Yeah. So Humbly is this podcast app that I've been working on for a couple years. What it does in essence is it raises money for charities and nonprofits just by using it. And it's kind of like an Amazon Smile, but for podcasts. So you would just download it and start using it. It's only for iOS now, but I'm working on Android stuff in the future. But to get more information on it, it's you just go over to humbly.fm or just look for Humbly on the App Store. It's all there. But yeah, this is really cool because I have this kind of philosophy, I guess, that if we're building technology, I think it's totally doable now. And there's a little excuse to just be building technology, and why can't we just be helping communities and people at the same time?
Yeah.
There's no reason to not do it. You know, project isn't fueled by greed or anything. I just saw an opportunity to help people and make an app that actually like works pretty nice. I mean, for a podcast app, I think it's really, really great. I put it together from the ground up. I'm a designer by trade. That's what I do now. But I also have spent a lot of time writing code over the years too. And yeah, I'm fortunate to be able to be alive at a time where you can just kind of have time and, you know, build shit that matters to you.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I thought this, I haven't actually got to, as a user, been able to download. I have Android, so I've been waiting for that. The Android app.
Yes, it's on my list. I want to do it so bad. I wish I did it already, but it's being alone building something is
understandable.
Full-time job.
Yeah, but that's what. So I wanted to like because it's such a sounds like a great idea. I'm like and I just like I said, I wanted to use it myself, but I haven't been able to do that yet. So I can't give you my feedback on that part of it. But I do love the idea, man. I think it's like such a especially for me like. I'm still very early stages of it. This year has put everything on hold like many others, but, my mother passed last December, and she passed from, brain cancer. And I was been working on, we did a big benefit show for her last fall, and I started this, it was a live concert, bunch of her favorite acts, and we called it Debstock. And I'm looking into making that actually a not-for-profit and to be able to give back and help others in need, with, you know, fighting brain cancer and stuff and whatever we can do. So that's sort of the idea. And then like, I was like thinking like, man, like it'd be great if I could somehow, you know, link my cause up to the podcast app too, you know? So like, again, like in whatever your cause is, you can support, whatever it is that you want to get behind. There's lots of great charities and to back, but I was just like, man, that'd be kind of nice to, because I do listen to a ton of podcasting, and if I could support my own cause while doing so, like, why not? Win-win for everybody.
Dude, I'm really sorry to hear about your mother. That's just weight, man. That's so, I don't imagine it being. I don't know. That's got to be really, really hard.
Yeah, it was last year was really bad, man. It was started, she was diagnosed in June, and then December 3rd, she passed. So like it was a fast, 6 months there where it was like, so it was very intense, and, it was, you know, very difficult to be a part of that and watching everything, you know, watch how fast it ate her up and everything.
Wow. Damn, man.
So I'm trying to, you know, do my part to kind of help others, you know, especially in that situation, being that I know firsthand what it's like. So.
Cool. Well, that is awesome that you put on that show and are thinking about turning into a nonprofit or working at it.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's definitely link up and make some stuff happen. So I'm still kind of like tightening the bolts around how the whole charity kind of thing exactly is going to work. Right now, the way it's set up is you would pick a category like environment or, you know, health or something like that. And then there's a few that I've curated in there based off of ratings and things like that. But I'm starting to learn quickly that people want to be able to associate just one, you know, or maybe two kind of charities or causes that really matter to them. So I'm going to be making some changes to make it more like that, where you would just pick one thing that matters, or maybe you could write something in. And either way, there's no excuse. Humbly on the back end, we'll figure it out and make sure the money gets to wherever it needs to go. So yeah, the thing is with an app like this, it's experimental, and
right,
you know, I'm still figuring out a lot of things. So yeah, things can totally change. So ideas, any suggestions, and I'm very open-minded to it. And there's a feedback feature in the app too, where you can just directly write to me and I will write you back. So yeah, I've gotten some feedback about the way the charities and like the things are set up. So it'd be great to link up and, you know, make sure that, you know, we can help each other out here.
Yeah, very cool, man. But yeah, I think, like I said, it's such a great idea to be able to give back to these various causes by just simply doing something you already are doing. So it's, you know, if you sit with those little commercials before, and then somebody's going to, you know, benefit from that, obviously, and the advertising and stuff. So I think it's a great idea, man. And I think I'm excited to see as this continues to grow. Like you're saying, this is very brand new, and as it continues to update and stuff and over the time, and be able to adapt to, you know, like saying, add all the different various causes and things. excuse me. What got you into this though? Like, is this, I mean, you said you studied, you know, and all this learning code and being a designer and stuff, but was this always the goal, is to be able to build apps and stuff? Or is that just kind of something you fell into?
Yeah, good question. So I've been building stuff since I was a kid. I mean, I was lucky enough to be a computer nerd in high school, and living here in the Silicon Valley, you know, quote unquote. I don't know. It just kind of worked out. I've always been building stuff. I've always had a side project. Back in the day with our band, we would be building our own websites, and they were always really, really sweet. And I don't know. It just kind of has always been a thing. So I was never formally, I didn't go to school for any of this stuff. I just had the interest and picked it up. And, you know, anyone out there can really, you know, if you've got enough interest or desire to want to build a thing, you know, using code or design or something, you know, what's good about these days is all those resources are just out there. I mean, we got YouTube, you can learn how to do anything. And so highly recommend, you know, looking into it if you're trying to. But the goal has just always been, I mean, that's me as a core, as a person. I guess I'm just a maker. So not just digital things, but you know, looking around my place here, I'm just seeing all these things that I've built just because I build things. Like I have a shop in my garage and I'm always tinkering. I'm always like hurting myself. I'm always figuring out how to make things the way I want them to. And I'm always fixing. If something were to break, if my phone were to break or something, the last thought I have is to buy a new one. Like my first thought is to be like, I'm just going to fix a damn thing. So that definitely goes out into like my work ethic when it comes to building an app like this, or even, you know, applying it to, you know, our band and making music. We're just really scrappy and DIY. We've always kind of been. So yeah, it definitely extends out. It's just me, I guess.
All right.
But I'm, like I said, I'm just really fortunate to be able to build and make and release finally an app that matters to me. And, you know, so far so good. I mean, people are latching onto it and appreciate what it's about. I think it's really cool. And, you know, I got to say though, it's really early. As my user base grows, I'll be able to actually do more with the charity stuff. And the mechanics of it is what happens is when you are using Humbly and you hit play for the first time on a podcast or something like that, you're going to get like a short ad, maybe 15 seconds, maybe 30 seconds, depending. But those ads are actually like someone paid to get that ad in front of you, right? So you hear the ad and that money goes to charity. And the whatever you selected as a user. So it's basically, that's like in a nutshell, that's kind of how it works. So I figure, like, you know, there's ads everywhere and we all hate them. I think, and me personally, I absolutely hate ads. And so I think that makes me the perfect person to make something like this, because to me, ad quality matters. I have this philosophy that I don't think it's any secret here, but you know, if the ad quality is good, you're going to get some good conversions and people are going to listen to them and it's going to be just more effective. So the ads coming through Humbly are like vetted, and, you know, we actually make ads for people. So if you wanted to advertise on Humbly for anything like small business or something like that, you could just kind of tell us, yeah, here's what we're about. Here are the points. Here's the vibe we want. And I have a small network of voice actors, and I have some audio, you know, engineering experience too. So put together the ad and run it. But that way I know that I can control the ad quality, you know, and I just don't want the ad experience on Humbly to suck at all. So,
right.
So if it does, I want to know about it and so I could fix it. But yeah. And I think it's just an opportunity to have a different approach on ads. Yeah. It's some extra ads, but it's going to a good cause. And hopefully the ads don't suck too bad at all, hopefully.
It is kind of crazy that, you know, now the whole like ads that you feel like they're in your head. Some, you know, it's like you don't even say it, or, you know, you're just thinking about something. All of a sudden an ad pops up for it in your feed and you're like, how does that work? Like, it's just.
Yeah. It's like a sticky feeling, right?
Yeah. It's very strange.
Yeah. So. I mean, to that point, I really don't like that feeling either.
Right.
I think it's pretty gross. So I don't know. I have vision for a lot of transparency around ads in Humbly and maybe why you're seeing an ad and things like that. Mm-hmm. I don't want that sticky feeling. I'm never going to sell user info to a third party or anything like that. This is all just, right. I mean, it's by design. It's a self-enclosed, you know, thing where it's only Humbly. There's no outside thing. I'm just planning on keeping it very like holistic, I guess you could say.
But you can, again, find it in your iOS store. You can visit humbly.fm is the website. You can get plugged in on Twitter and Instagram.
Yes.
And get involved with it. And like I said, help send Harag some feedback. And if you happen to notice anything, and I think that's a really cool thing too, especially as a startup kind of, you know, small growing app like this, the fact that you get that kind of hands-on one-on-one experience kind of thing, like where you can actually directly email you or whatever and stuff. So yeah.
I love that part. I mean, I hear from people all the time and I just directly write back. Sometimes, I mean, I'll be caught being like, hey, I'm thinking about this feature. What do you think about that? You know, if they were to write in about something related to it. So I really like getting that direct feedback and, you know, just a little bit of signal as to what decisions I should be making. And, you know, I think every user is important. And because in the long run, I think, yeah, right now Humbly's small, but my visions for it are really big.
Right.
I'm imagining, you know, if there are a lot of users on here, all the actual social change that can happen, like all these communities that could benefit and all these charities and stuff. So that's kind of where my heart is. And so, yeah, that's more or less what I'm thinking. But yeah, on the Twitters and Instagrams, it's just Humbly FM. So,
and you told me that Rock Paper Podcast is on there now. So if you're listening to the show, you can and you have an Apple device, you can head over and download, and you can listen to Rock Paper Podcast on there on Humbly. Yeah,
it is there.
Yeah, man. So thanks for doing that. That's cool. What do you think? As it continues to grow, I mean, do you like, Are you looking to, like, I mean, I guess, like, what made you want to start with podcasting in first? Like, is there, are you attached to, do you listen to a lot of podcasting? Is that where that idea kind of started?
It's kind of a multi-pronged. I've always loved podcasts. I've been getting more and more into them over than last, maybe in the last 5 or 6 years. But they've always been this really great source of information. And nowadays, I would say it's like one of my primary sources of figuring out what's going on in the world and opinions and even just entertainment. So it's taken a front and center approach. I know I'm not alone in that. I think a lot of people agree. And it's just become a big part of everyday life for a lot of folks.
Yeah.
But I was also thinking about, you know, there's an opportunity here because this ad space and podcasts is kind of, I don't know. I'm of the opinion that no one's cracked the nut yet there. And this is a kind of an attempt to do that. And so I figure let's do that. Let's help people along the way. I think it'll help it stand out. And I just really like that the podcast space it's huge, but it's growing and more people are, you know, becoming aware of it. And I think what's really rad about it is folks who are listening to podcasts just typically are just really paying attention. I mean, you know, we're not like zoning out, listening to music or working or something. When you're listening to a podcast, like it does kind of command more attention than other forms of audio kind of, I don't know, stimulation. So,
right. Yeah. I just had a buddy hit me up today this morning. He asked me about wanting to start a podcast and looking for some advice on and stuff. So like you're saying, it's definitely growing. There's people starting new shows all the time. And, you know, it's cool that people do, I guess, you know, respect my show enough to like want advice from me, like about doing it. But
also,
I'm flattered that people think of me, but it's like, it's cool that, I can able to help somebody else find their passion or whatever, and whatever it might be. So
right on.
Yeah, man. Well, you also, besides when you're not busy, designing apps and doing code and everything else, you do play bass. And I knew that about you. I knew you were part of a group called Strata that I was. I think Wiley said, and you said you met Wiley rolling through town through St. Louis on tour with the band years ago. And I think we might have been at the same show. But I saw the you guys play at Pops in 2004 on on the Snowcore tour.
Mm-hmm.
With Finger 11 and Trapped and
yeah
it was a wild night, man. It was a good show.
Yeah, good times. We definitely had some really good times on those tours. And yeah, the band is still a thing. We've been at it for quite a while now, you know, not to date ourselves, but
yeah but that's what it's like. You know, not to say I forgot about you guys, but like, you guys did, there was a good chunk where you guys took a break and then when Wiley kind of helped connect it, I didn't, you know, he mentioned the band and I was like, oh shit, man. I was like, I love that stuff. That solo, or the self-titled, record, and man, it's still so good. So it was cool to rediscover you guys, and then learn that you got brand new songs out there now. So we got, two new singles in 2020 that just released a little bit ago. So, so that was a real treat, man. I fall in love with that catalog and some stuff that I used to listen to a couple years back.
That's amazing. Yeah, thank you. It's been really a trip. Yeah. We were doing the band thing for many, many years. We were touring and very, very all about it. And, due to some circumstance, we kind of stopped playing around and, about 2009, 2008. And we took a bit of a break, about 5 years. And then we kind of got back on the horse and just started trying to figure out, you know, what direction we're at. We played some shows, recorded some stuff, and kind of like took a bit to figure out what direction we wanted to go. And I think we kind of got it sorted out now. So we've been putting out music. And this year was actually, like everyone else, it got pretty, you know, fucked up.
Right.
And we're going to be touring probably throughout the whole summer. And all of that fell through. We had all these other like ideas that we wanted to pull out. We were going to put off, we're going to put out a full EP and everything. And unfortunately, yeah, a lot of that stuff just kind of fell through. And we decided that, hey, we're going to lay low and put out some music a little at a time and let people know that we're out here and we're doing this thing still. And we've been a band, what, like 20 years now. And, you know, we've seen a few things. And at the end of the day, you know, we're best friends in this band, and it's kept us together. You know, this one, even during the times we weren't really playing, you know, we were found ourselves hanging out with one another all the time and supporting one another's projects and all these things. And so it's just this really, really nice, like, I don't know, like group of friends that we have here in this band, and a lot of love and a lot of just, I don't know, just like making art together. So we're doing it, and we have plans to kind of, when hopefully when things become a little more like the new normal that allows people to tour and play shows and all that stuff, we're really looking forward to being able to be on stage again and connecting with people and reconnecting with fans and all that stuff. Because I mean, I would, I don't know, if one of my favorite bands were to break up and then they were back together, I'd be pretty, pretty freaking stoked.
Yeah, dude, for sure. Like that's some of my favorite stuff. Like, you know, even locally, just had friends like, you know, that they take a break, they announce like, yeah, this is our final show. And then they, you know, they decide a year later or whatever to do some kind of reunion thing. And it's like, I just get so pumped, man. It's like every time it's just like, I feel like a little kid, like you get to go see one of your favorite bands again. And it's like, so exciting.
Yeah, for sure. So yeah, this year has been actually, it started off pretty great. we managed to, we had all these songs that we were just working on. We had a management that we were working with, and we hadn't really signed anything yet, but you know, we were just all working in the same direction. We had a game plan and all this stuff just laid out, and then, it fell through. So it definitely was humbling. And we learned that a few things, as a band, we have always been, I think I mentioned this earlier, but, you know, we've just been a scrappy bunch. We're very DIY. We figure things out ourselves. Like these recordings we've put out, we engineered them ourselves in our crappy little recording studio. And these days, you know, we have with the right mics and a little bit of patience and like the ability to use some software, you can get a pretty good product. But we've been at it for a while. And Ryan, our guitar player, is a great engineer. And we have figured out how to make things sound pretty freaking good just on our own. And so what's cool is we, you know, it doesn't really cost us anything. We record leisurely and we're not depending on anyone to, you know, get any of the work done. And we have, luckily we've made some friends over the years. And I would say the only other resource we use is, we have friends who help us mix it down and master and stuff. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, we have some pretty good sounding audio, and I think it captures the vibe and the energy really well, because we're in our, you know, little cocoon of comfort and safety when we're recording these things, and we can just be ourselves, and it shows. I think it shows in the music, and it shows in the audio quality and the recordings and everything. So yeah, we're the theme that's been going on for recent songs is, one of the songs is called Around the Bend.
Yeah, man.
That's the first one we kind of released this year. So that's the theme we have in general is kind of global anxiety. And we wrote this song back in October 2019, basically saying, yeah, you know, it's kind of feeling like something big's coming, something bad. And yeah, I mean, lo and behold, we have 2020 where it's been basically, I think we underestimated it in the song.
Right.
So yeah, I mean, it felt that way, and all of us felt that way. Like, just this is not a sustainable way of living when it comes to just life right now. I mean, in America and the rest of the world, you know. So that's what we were thinking. And so the song kind of says something's coming, don't know what, but
yeah.
Time.
Yeah, I love this tune, man. It was really jamming to it on Spotify. And then, like, I don't know if you use Spotify much, but like as you play, like sometimes it'll just like go into the next thing. So, and I was just listening to a bunch of your guys' music, and then it kicked up into the breakdown of the song on there. Mm. And I was like, man, I love this. It's like, oops. Cause like that's really the gist of why I do the podcast. Like, I love that the storytelling of the songs, and I do a storytelling showcase with acoustic songwriters, but you know, up until March. You know, so I just love that kind of the breaking down the whole thing. And like, even they're talking about how like, you were working on, there's something like some of your audio got caught on the mic, and then that made it into the song and all this stuff. Like, so so just little things like you probably wouldn't catch it on the first playthrough, but as we're talking about it, like, it's really fun to hear some of those stories of like in the studio working on it and stuff. So, so those are really cool too. So check those out. The breakdown of Around the Bend.
Yeah. While we're talking about it, we put out Around the Bend as a single, but there are three tracks there. So there's the original Around the Bend, and then there's the kind of commentary version, and then there's an alternate version that we put out as well. So we really like putting out all three. So we did that again for Rats and Snakes, where we have the same thing. You know, we got the main version, we got the commentary, and an alternate version. The alternate version for Rats and Snakes is a very, very chilled out piano version. And I don't know, we thought that the song kind of translated really well there. So I think moving forward, you can expect more of this kind of thing.
We'll be right back.
all of us really like Song Exploder podcast. So if you haven't checked that out, like that's just a great, great thing. And so we wanted to kind of do it so the vibe was kind of the same, just some insight. So there's something for everybody, you know, if you're a person that records music or maybe an engineer or something, you're like, oh, that's cool. Or if you're a person who, you know, maybe doesn't really care much about that, but you just want to know more about the song. We just kind of wanted to make it a variety and interesting for everyone. So I think we nailed it. I think we did pretty good. And it was really fun to make those. And you can tell, you know, Eric and Ryan are the main guys on the last two, but you could tell that they're just having a blast while they're recording these things. So it's very, very telling to how we are as our dynamics are. Yeah, we get together and it's just like we're just giggling like the whole time, like a bunch of like kids. I don't know we'll never lose that. We're always kids when we're together, and it's because that's how it started, you know.
Yeah, no, that's so cool to hear, because yeah, some that does I feel like that's part of the why some bands don't make it, because like it does become too serious, becomes you know, more of a business or whatever, you know, where you hear stories about guys in different, you know, can't even be in the same room as each other or the same or the same tour bus or whatever, you know, these different stories. But you know, that's what it should always be. You should remember why you picked up the guitar in the first place or the whatever, you know, it's just all for having fun with your buddies and stuff. So I think that's, it's great to see that and hear that you guys still embracing that.
Yeah, we're definitely, I mean, we got some really good lessons early on about how to, you know, keep a good band dynamic and why it matters and everything. So we're fortunate in that sense. We've been practicing that all these years, but yeah, like you said, you know, like it becoming more of a business, that whole thing. It's, you know, pretty much why we stopped back in 08, 09. And so luckily it wasn't fatal. We managed to get back, you know, back on our feet and start doing this thing again. And because, you know, we all realize that friendship is just more important than anything. And our well-beings and our livelihoods and all that are just, you know, top tier. So yeah, I think that's why we're continuing to play today.
Yeah, man. Very cool. Well, let's, you mentioned, Rats and Snakes, and that's, the latest single that you guys released, available everywhere digitally. Now you can, find that. And again, like you're saying, there's the alternate version and the breakdown of that tune, but like, and I love that too. Like you're saying, like, you know, it's kind of this piano, but I love like hearing a different, arrangement, acoustic versions and stuff of songs, like all those MTV Unplugs and stuff like that. Like those were, I love that stuff. I love like hearing just like, especially something like so iconic as some of these songs, you know, like, of, you know, Alice in Chains is probably my favorite one. Like just,
yeah, that's my favorite one too. Yeah, like that. I don't know. I don't know what it is about that one. It just always just takes me right back.
Yeah. Yeah. It's such a cool, I mean, just like the whole, everything about it, it just was cool. You know, it was like, sounded great. And, but it was just like, I love that they're able to like take these songs that you know so well and then like kind of flip them and make them these acoustic versions and they still sound incredible. Yeah. And you know, it's just like, I love when bands are able to do like the whole set like that and strip down.
Yeah, it's cool. I think what it's about is they're different, but they don't lose any meaning. Like the meaning of those songs still persists. So yeah, that's a good takeaway.
Yeah, definitely. But so I appreciate that you guys are offering some variety like that, offering some of those different versions.
Yeah, it's definitely, you know, I mean, it's definitely got our fingerprints all over it. This is just what we felt like would be awesome to release, you know, to fans, new fans, old fans, friends, everybody, you know? And so, yeah, we just wanted to make it so it's interesting and, you know, not just one song every now and then. We just want to, the plan is to keep putting out music, you know, pretty on a pretty regular cadence for a while. And hopefully, you know, when things kind of like allow for touring and live shows, then people will have a, you know, absorb these songs and, you know, they'll be familiar when we play. And that's nothing like that when you go to see, you know, a band you like and you know all the songs.
So yeah. When's the last time you guys played on stage together?
January. Yeah, we had a few shows around California. We'd played, where was the first one? don't know. I can't remember the order, but we played in Sacramento. We played in LA and we did a home show here in San Jose. Pretty awesome. We had some great turnouts. I mean, it is always a beautiful thing. Being up on stage and looking down and just people are singing all the lyrics and it's just, it really reminds you why you got into it in the first place. So, but yeah, I mean, I think that we have just developed over the years a really great dynamic on stage with one another. And we have a couple new members. We have a drummer, our drummer Jim is an old friend of ours and incredible drummer and personality and friend. And we also have our piano player, Johnny, who's now related to Eric actually. And he is a classically trained pianist. And he is the best pianist we have. And yeah, he just rips. And it is, and sometimes we, I just like, I don't know, man. It's not every day where you kind of encounter someone who absolutely is like, is perfect more or less on an instrument. And yeah, whenever he plays, we just stop. It's pretty awesome. So, but yeah, we got a really great dynamic. And I mean, these additions with Jim and Johnny have changed the dynamic of our band, but we think for the better. You know, we're adding depth. We're adding a different, you know, the vibe slightly changed, but you know, I think it still sounds like Strata. I think that core is still there because, you know, Eric, Ryan, and I are the three that started this thing back in 2000 and we're still here. So,
yeah, man.
Yeah.
Take me back to the like when everything really started ramping up for the band. I mean, like, what's that like? You know, you guys started this project, like I said, 2000, and then like obviously 2004 was a huge year for you guys as that self-titled record hit, and then you know, getting picked up on video games and getting on, you know, on the tours and all that stuff. I mean, that was like what's that like going through that, like where you start getting those calls that like these certain things are happening that you've dreamed about forever and stuff like that? And
yeah, you know, so we started off just doing whatever we did. I mean, we didn't have a plan. We just were putting out music. We had a pretty good live show back in 2000, 2001. By the way, we were called Downside back then. We had not changed our name yet. And we kind of, I mean, just started local. We'd branch out and play in Sac or something. Eventually we played in LA, but you know, things just kind of started happening for us slowly. I think we just got noticed. We had a really great web presence. We were connecting fans through our website. This is back in 2000, 2001. And I don't know. Nobody really was doing that back then. We had actual like video on our website back then. We were just looking back at it. We were very pioneering in a sense of, you know, what a web presence would be. And we knew it was about connecting people. And so I think like those people just become lifelong fans and stuff. But yeah, I mean, I think we did a lot of things unknowingly right. I mean, we just happened to, I don't know. We were just truly just being ourselves and we started getting some label attention. And obviously we were banned for a year or two. We're pretty new, very green, I'd say. And we just couldn't get signed, man. We were trying to just get a deal somewhere. And we were showcasing in LA every weekend for, I remember like a whole summer. And every label saw us play like in these really weird showcases. We're just in this like, I don't know, lockout of a room with like a stage. And there's like five people sitting there, maybe with like suits, and they're just watching you play, and then you kind of shoot the shit and go get a dinner, and they say, yeah, cool, let's talk, and then nothing, right? So eventually we were just like, screw it, we're done like trying to get, you know, I don't know, force ourselves to get signed here. So we ended up kind of getting our first tour back in 2003, and we're like, cool, we don't need support, we'll figure it out. Like, we figured out a way to get a van. You know, we had to pay, you know, our payment on the van every month. So we just, that was it. That was like our one expense and like some gas and stuff. So we got on our first tour with Dredge, who's also from here. And we just became friends with kind of over the years slowly. And they took us out for our first tour. It was the best freaking tour. I mean, I have a lot of really, really fond memories of that. And so that was a good, nice, we hit all the markets and, you know, game on. And then right afterwards, we, you know, we had a really great manager and he was also the manager of Alien Ant Farm. Ant Farm took us out for about a month And so we had these really great back-to-back tours. And I think it just really helped us kind of get out of that green zone as a band. And now we're just well-traveled a little bit. We got experience on the road. You know, our songs are connecting with people. Our fan base was growing. So this record label called Wind Up, who had we had tried to get signed to before, reached out to us. And we were all just like, basically telling them to go, you know, fuck themselves. We're just so outside of that realm of wanting to get, we were just like, no, we're doing this thing. We had that DIY kind of us against the world kind of thing going, you know? And no, but our manager was like, no, really, I think we should talk to them. And yeah, we did. And next thing you know, we're out in New York signing some papers. So what's cool is they're a very great, caring label. They really, really loved us. And you know, you could tell maybe we were a little misaligned about some things and approaches, but at the end of the day, it was overall a pretty good experience. They actually they prefer that we put out the album that we had engineered and recorded ourselves, and we went and got it, you know, mixed in a more professional setting, really, really nice studio, and got it with a good mixer, Jay Baumgartner, actually, and who we'd been friends with from before. And yeah, we got this thing sounding pretty good. And that's the self-titled that you were mentioning. And so that thing was all recorded on like a crappy little Windows 98, like a Digi 001 interface with Windows. I mean, on Pro Tools, it was just, I don't even know how we, you know, when you're that young and you got like all this energy and desire to make this thing happen, you just make it happen. So yeah, it was pretty cool that that's what they wanted to release.
Yeah, man.
The album did well. And yeah, and after that, you know, it's kind of the rest is history. So that's kind of how we got our, you know, got our start in the early days. I think it was just a combination of, you know, putting a good show. The songs were pretty cool, a good web presence. And we were like really hardcore about passing out flyers,
right?
Getting people to shows. So yeah.
What's the first thing you went and bought when you started getting some money? When you had some extra money that you feel like you could splurge a little bit?
That's a really funny question because we were actually pretty damn broke the whole time. Even though we were signed, it was more like, I mean, I'm grateful. Our management and stuff was like, yeah, you're signed, but you're not going to get more money. So we kind of rationed our money. So
right.
We were getting paid severely under minimum wage. But we were doing art and traveling for free, more or less. Like,
yeah.
So that was the benefits. But yeah, I still haven't made that purchase,
man. Oh yeah.
we're still, you know, those days were unforgettable. Being on tour and just rolling around the country and parts of the world with like your best friends. And I don't know, that's just something else. But yeah, it wasn't really financially very sustainable. So, I mean, a lot of the bands we know who are just kind of starting off or who haven't like quite, I don't know, made it over that like hump, you know, are struggling. And especially now because of the pandemic and, you know, our main source of income was either like live shows and selling merch at shows. We do what we can on the internet now. So it's helping. And we have these really great fans who support us. And we love them. And it's allowing for us to do some basic things, just like maybe get a new mic every now and then or maybe pay our studio rent and stuff like that. So we're able, as long as those like basics are covered, you can expect, you know, material to be coming out from Strata.
Yeah. That's crazy to think though, too, like you said, like that record did so well and that you guys, you know, very minimal on equipment and stuff. Like it does something that's, I think there's a lot to be said about that because so many people do feel like they need to this big studio. You need this big record contract or, you know, whatever it is. They think they have to have these things to be successful. And like, really all like, if you can get a decent sound and have somebody properly mix and master it, like you can do pretty well with, you know, with that audio and stuff or that product. And
yeah,
so that's cool to hear that you were saying all that.
Yeah, especially these days, it's just gotten easier and easier. So right. And cheaper and cheaper. So you can get, I mean, like us, you know, we don't have any crazy equipment.
Yeah.
We have a decent little Pro Tools rig. I mean, Ryan's the guy to talk to about this.
Yeah.
And a couple nice mics, but in our like our amps and whatever the hell we've always had. And I've had my same bass rig since, I don't know, 2004, and I kind of like did it. It took a while to figure that all out, but I haven't changed it. I just think it's like, I'm like, it's been good. I'm not all trying to experiment. I'm not,
Yeah, if not broke, don't fix it, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So, yeah, we just kind of just make do with what we got. We don't like, we're not a very exuberant. We've never really been. I mean, anyone who's met us on the road or anything just knows that our live show is just us playing and us being ourselves, and meeting us after a show is just talking to some dudes. So yeah, we've never really been outside. We've never really been anything other than that. And, you know, we're just, it was a privilege to be able to be just kind of doing that for a quote unquote living. But like, you know, it was really a privilege, and it still is. I mean, we are very, very stoked every day to be able to like be a part of something and like have this fan base that cares. I mean, there are Strata tattoos out there, you know. That's always trips me out. There are people who come to us every now and then and just will say like, yeah, I was going through some really deep shit, like this saved my life or something, you know, your music. And that is, I don't know. That's really, really special.
Yeah, man. What's crazy enough is that I can relate, because there's actually a Rock Paper Podcast tattoo out there. So which just blows my mind that's even a real thing. So it feels good that that something that you are part of means enough to somebody that they want to put it on their skin permanently and stuff. Like, it's nice. Very, very cool feeling.
Yeah, super cool. And very, I mean, I'm honored, you know.
Yeah, definitely. You, so what's like, what's the, when you're out there on the road, you know, when you were, when everything was going well and stuff, what's like one of your favorite spots to hit, and like food wise, like do you like crave any certain dish, any pizza or anything? Like what's your, one of your favorite things to look forward to on tour?
Sweet. It's good question. So on tour, we were just, you know, it's almost like a blur, you know. You're in a town or city for, I don't know, 16 hours maybe. Right. And like half of that time you're busy. Sometimes you have a day off. We could spend a little extra time. Obviously I love I do really like Chicago and New York, of course. And I really used to like the South. Haven't really been down there so much, you know, these days, but the South is always pretty cool to us. And, I enjoyed it, and food was great down there. As far as just kind of food in general, we don't have Waffle House out here.
Okay.
I know it's not the best shit around. Like, I get it, but
shit hits the spot though about 3 a.m. then or something like that.
That's what I'm saying. So, and you know, out in like probably most of the country, you know, you just like trip over them. They're everywhere. So, we would find ourselves a Waffle House a lot.
Yeah.
And especially cause we didn't have them. And now I'm always thinking about them. And so, cause I haven't had it in since back in the day.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I don't know. I know it's kind of a weird one, but, it's something fancy with like really, really nice deep dish or something compared, like in Chicago. But yeah, I mean, speaking of like, you know, you're in a town and it is a blur. You barely get a chance sometimes to explore, and it's just like whatever food's at the venue, maybe,
right,
or whatever, you know, there's like two boxes of pizza and you're like, yeah, you don't even care where it's from. It's just food.
Yeah.
But it was more about, you know, like the vibes in the cities come and go, and there's definitely all that, but it's, you know, it's the people, man. Reconnecting with your friends and just like being able to just see like your fan base like grow just a little bit each time. And that's just really kind of what it's, I don't know, that's always been more special to me than cities and stuff themselves.
Mm-hmm. I've heard a lot of that too, like in regards to like those big summer festivals and stuff. Like, it's always like summer camp for bands, you know, because they get to go catch up with their buddies that they don't ever get to see, because you guys are always all on tour going all different directions and stuff. But it's, you know, that one or, you know, a couple times a year you guys are in the same room together and stuff, you can catch up a little bit. So
yep,
we're getting find new Strata music out there wherever you're getting your digital music. Visit humbly.fm and download the app. Before we got started, you were talking about, being Armenian. Is that even like difficult? Cause I don't feel like there's like a lot of Armenian players in rock music. Was that ever difficult for you to starting out and playing bass and rock music and stuff? Like,
well, you know, it's cool that you asked that, because around the time, you know, Strata was starting, like System of a Down had exploded, and this right. is a band of all Armenian guys. And so it was, I don't know, it kind of felt pretty cool being like, because I mean, as a kid growing up, I mean, I've been a System fan since I was, I don't know, very young,
oh, yeah.
really young. I think I was at their second ever show at this tiny little venue in LA. I mean, our parent, me and my cousin went, and our, you know, our dads dropped us off because we couldn't drive. Yeah, that's how young we were. And so I've loved System. I was on their street team. They like sent me this manila envelope with some tapes and like a thank you note and a couple stickers and shit.
Very cool.
So that was definitely, you know, a big reason why I think I was like, if they can do it, I can do this, you know, kind of thing. So, but yeah, I am Armenian. Some of you might know, like there's a conflict right now out in the Caucasus where Armenia is. There's this disputed like territory, that has just, you know, it's like 99% Armenians live in this land. But in the last 2 weeks, Azerbaijan, backed by like the Turkish government, has went ahead and started saying that this is their land. And there are it's complicated, shouldn't get into it, but it is a very, very bad situation. And a lot of Armenians are dying. And so anyway, I think I just wanted to take this opportunity to just mention that. If you wanted to learn more about that, you know, go to armeniafund.org. Actually, that's where you would go to donate, but just Google it. What's happening in Armenia? And you'll get a lot of information. Or if you were to follow me on my Instagram, I'm pretty outspoken about it. And also like the System of a Down guys, speaking of, are very outspoken about this too. Every Armenian you know is just like freaking out right now. We are not good. We are, you know, very, very worried. And there are, you know, people going from here to there to fight.
Yeah.
And so it's pretty interesting, scary existential situation. But yeah, if you were to follow me on my Insta, it's just at Harag, H-R-A-G. Lots of info there. Or just Google it. But yeah, I just thought I'd just take this opportunity to just spread a little more awareness for that too, because that's very, very current and very, very dear to me as well.
Yeah. Yeah, man. It's like, let alone we got everything else going on, you know, too, like in the midst of a global pandemic, but then, yep. you know, then you got this happening too. So it's like, it's crazy, yeah. crazy times, man.
Definitely awful timing.
Right. Hopefully we can, I don't even know. I don't even know what the, how do you fix it, or how, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, just getting awareness just for people like listening right now, right. I think that's just a, you know, just a big step there. More and more people know about it, you know, the more obvious it becomes the how unjustified and kind of messed up it is. And right. so that's just how it starts, just getting like that public people to just recognize it. But yeah, but thanks for letting me mention that. Thanks for having me here.
This
has been great.
I think, it was cool to hear you talk about System and being there at the beginning, because like it took me, like there's a picture popped up. I think it was like an early Rage Against the Machine show with Maynard was in the like front row or something like that. Like I don't know if you ever saw that picture, but it was just cool that like bands supporting bands, even when like there was like nobody else there, the very early days and stuff. So like and it was just like cool to think that those guys go back that far and everything else. And like, but you being inspired by a System to want to even play. And I think that was really, really cool to hear, man. So,
it's rad. Like, you know, what's cool is all the Armenian musicians, you know, that are out in like the mainstream, just, you know, they all are connected and everyone knows one another. It's because being Armenian isn't just our like, you know, it's not just that we share a language and stuff. This is like, it goes deep, you know?
Yeah.
We're very connected people and we just like love being Armenian. So oftentimes, you know, I've had the pleasure of meeting a lot of, you know, other Armenian musicians and entertainers over the years too.
Yeah, man. And now you get to be that guy for other kids, you know, coming up, man. So they can inspire them to play.
I really hope so. I really do. But yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, make art and build stuff and help people and be, you know, just kind of like, I think it's a decent way to be.
All right. Yep. I'm all about it, man. That sounds good to me. Well, brother, this has been a lot of fun. I'm really glad that we were able to do this today.
Likewise. Thank you so much.
I really appreciate you sharing all this with me, and I look forward to see how the app continues to grow and what new music we have coming soon. And hopefully we'll get you guys back here in St. Louis sometime. I get to see a live show or sometime soon.
That would be amazing. And we would want nothing more than to visit every city again.
Yeah.
And we are just itching to do it. So
hey, I'll take you guys to a Waffle House if you.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah,
absolutely. Okay. Now it's definitely got to happen.
Right. Yeah. Sounds good, man.
Right on, man. Well again, I appreciate it.
Yeah. Thank you, Rog. And I'll talk to you soon. Hopefully.
Sounds great. Cheers. Right.
Thanks, man.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Well, yeah, that was it.